Welcome to Kadam, the Small Steps podcast, where we try to showcase individual perspectives of recent graduates about different pathways of life. I am Hemansh Bhatia.
And I am Arjit Singh.
And together, we'll try to uncover what it means to have a traditional career.
We hope you've had no issues finding us on any platform, and we are still looking forward to hearing from more of you. Let us know if you have any more suggestions for who to bring on and what to ask them. Today, we're bringing on another exciting guest. So, let's start the show. Our guest today has come a long way from being a high school student trying to get by to now working as a process development engineer at Boston Scientific, Indiana, United States, one of the leaders in the medical device industry. During his co-op with Boston Scientific, after graduating from the University of Toledo, he helped develop a new product for the medical industry that he is very proud of. Having practiced yoga enthusiastically, he has been able to control his anxiety and is now back to his always ready to grow nature. And now that he is here on our podcast, we are very excited to uncover his journey and to gain an insight into this incredible industry that helps save lives and alleviate human suffering. Without further ado, let's welcome Tejas.
Hey man, welcome to the show.
Hello everyone, thank you very much for bringing me on here. Really excited to be here.
Of course, hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. How are you guys?
Good.
Let's get into it. I do have a question to start. So, why did you choose to work in an industry as specific as the medical device industry? You know, how did that decision come about?
That's a great point, man. That's a great question. So this was sophomore year of college, like second year of college, where I was like, oh, I'm not from here. I'm not from America. And I need to like find a job soon. I'm going to get out of college and just trying to figure out the ways, right? And then I started applying for internships and just to gain experience while I was in school. And turns out that my university has this mandatory internship program where we really had to do 3 internships in an industry related to our major. And then once we complete those 3 internships successfully, only then they'll give us our degree. So I was kind of had to do those internships, you know. And then I started applying. And to be honest, I didn't get any positive feedback from anywhere. I was interviewing every other week, every second week, and over the phone, sometimes in person. This was pre-COVID, so it was in person as well. So at that time, it was fun, and like I was gaining experience of how to interview with different companies, you know, understand work culture. And then this one day, I was at a career fair of my university, and then I just, this was really random actually. I was standing in the line for a different company. It was Honda. And then just line's really long. We all know what Honda is, right? So the line was long. And then I was standing there. And then I just looked over at Boston. And then this guy was just giving me a stare. And I was like, oh, if I don't go now, it's going to be weird, right? So I just walked over. Just winged it, to be very honest. And they kind of figured out that I don't know about the company as much. So they stressed on that point just to see how I act under pressure, I would say, you know? And then... turns out their medical devices were right in front of me, and my curiosity, just by looking at them and asking them how the certain things work and all that, it kind of struck the thing that they were looking for, you know, somebody who's really curious about their products. And they gave me an interview that evening, and then I sat with them for an hour and a half, and then I hear back from them around 4.5-5 weeks after. I really lost hope by then that whether I'm going to get to hear from them or not. To be honest, I had filled up my interviewer's voicemail to a point where he had to really call me and be like, hey man, let's talk, you know. And so from there I saw like, man, I'm really stubborn, you know, when it comes to such things. And they offered me a position in November 2017, and then January 2018 I was here in Bloomington, Big Ten school, Indiana University. I was living here and started working at Boston Scientific as a process development intern. Yeah, that's how I stepped into the doors.
that's honestly a great journey, Tejas, that you came across, you know. So from honestly, I think being in college in the United States too, that, you know, just mentioning that your college told you that you had to, or your university told you that you had to have 3 internships before you could graduate.
Right.
Honestly, I think everybody should do that, you know, just because it gives you that industry knowledge and stuff like that. So, you know, we had some of those similar kind of things when we were working for companies from within the university, although we didn't really have to go out there and interview for them. You know, it was okay. like more like a partnership sure. between the university and the company. And that's what we were doing. But, you know, I think going out there, putting yourself out there and just, you know, even realizing how well you work under pressure for yourself and for the company to see you doing that, I think that is what makes you, you know, work harder and push yourself to get into the industry and, you know, dig your claws, if you may. And so yeah. I think you did that really well, I guess, you know, and being stubborn about getting that position was definitely something that helped you, I guess. So
it definitely did, man.
Yeah. I mean, what was going on in your head when you applied for the internship? You know, like you said, you did not really know about the company, and just yeah. somebody was staring at you and you were like, okay, I'm just gonna go.
Yeah, you know, I was just gonna take my chance and just go talk to them. You know, looking back on those days now, I feel like the difference between consciously applying to a company or doing what I did, that I just winged it, was that I really didn't have anything to lose, you know? I mean, I had lots to lose. Like, if I didn't get an internship, there's a whole story that could, you know, there's a whole parallel path that could start from there. But if you think about it, I went in without having any doubt about what's going to happen. Right. I went in.
No fear.
I just went in saying that, hey, I'm going to give my best shot. Whatever happens, happens. It's a consequence. Let's not worry about that, you know?
Did you know about the industry beforehand, or was it all new to you? So, you know, like you said, you were, of course, looking at Honda, but yes. had you done some research at least into other industries? And what were you looking for when you're looking for these internships? Did you have something in mind? Were you looking for something specific, or were you just like, okay, I'm just going to see what I can find?
Yeah. So when I was going in, I was like, I really didn't want to be in the automotive side. Because electric is the next wave of forward, man. You know, we all know that that's going to happen soon. And for me personally, seeing how the automotive industry in Michigan and Ohio is at this time, they are not looking for people who are not from here, you know, not from America. They're looking for Americans. And yeah, that's the story here. And to be very honest, and I had applied to Zimmer Biomet. Zimmer Biomet is another medical device company. In parallel, so I kind of knew about the industry, but the only doubts I had was that I'm a mechanical engineer. Would they accept me as a person for this role, you know? And at that point, why I didn't select Boston in my list was because they would not want to hire an international student. They really didn't want to hire an international student. And Zimmer Biomet was on the other side of the story. They were like, hey, let's talk to this person, you know? And let's see what he's got. But I didn't end up getting an interview with them. You know, it's like the total opposite of what should have happened. And I ended up talking to Boston, but I kind of knew what they do on, you know, I mean, I knew that they were a medical device company, but going into their product line, their product pipeline, I really didn't know about that.
Okay. I'm going to take it back to how you mentioned that, you know, you didn't know or you assumed that you wouldn't get the job or the internship for Boston, but you still yes. applied. So that's something that I've also seen happen. And I think, it actually is something that people should see. Like, even if you think you don't fit the requirements, mm-hmm. you know, you could very well be the great fit that they're looking for in their team. And you should at least apply for them. You know, have that chance. Absolutely. You have nothing to lose. So that's something exactly. I've also found, and you are an example for that as well, that you got the job. So that's one thing that I wanted to talk about. The other was how you were talking about internships, right? And Arjit as well, that you should get those internships. And I believe as well that, you know, it's my subjective opinion, but I believe that the practical experience in the industry is way more like helpful for my own technical skills as well, rather than what I've studied in, you know, the university, in the college, whatever.
Of course, man.
So this wasn't the only internship you've had, right? And you've had a campus jobs or anything other than just the technical job that you have right now. So what role did they play in not just your career life, but overall?
Okay, thank you for asking that. So I actually started off working on campus it was a food production facility where my job was to just pack packages of food and then send it across to different pods across campus where provisions on demand, that was pod, and they would just sell them to students over there. And it was pretty chill, laid back. But one thing that I got to understand is how process flow works. You know, now looking back, at that time I was like, hey, what am I doing, right? And then now looking back, I feel like, hey, it prepares you for understanding the bigger picture every time you get a task, you know, like just putting food in a box. I mean, how tough can that be, right? But doing that 100 times a day, that's where the challenge comes in. And moving on from that, I was like, okay, now I need to slowly bring my campus job towards something engineering so that it helps me getting an internship, because at the end of the day, I can't graduate without an internship, right? And once that happens, I moved towards working for the university sign shop, where I was designing campus signage. Signage as in, like, for example, Arjit's here, right? If Arjit's right outside Arjit's office, if there's Arjit saying so-and-so, it's written, right? So I would design that for professors. And then in our medical campus, I would design that for different doctors and surgeons and all of them. And that kind of helped me understand how, you know, how a structure works on a, like, direct customer interaction, I would say that. You know, how do you handle with people who are not always polite to you? You know, because in my first job, I wouldn't really interact with anybody. But over here, I would interact with doctors and some surgeons, some professors, and other facilities workers and all that. And everyone's different. Then you kind of learn soft skills. You kind of understand, you gauge how that person is coming into the conversation and then the points that you need to put in front of him or her. And then how do you just get the key points out of it and move forward, get the task complete, and, you know, just move on. It's not about that situation. You don't need to get into say things that, you know, that might offend them or some stuff like that, because doctors can be tricky, man, to be very honest, you know. Yeah, they can be very rude at times.
Right.
Yeah. And my last job on campus was a teaching assistant. I became a teaching assistant for material science. So I got to work with Dr. Sarit Bhaduri. He was my professor for material science, and then he offered me this position. He liked my papers that I submitted in class. And I used to teach lab sections, and that way I understood directly how to mentor somebody, you know. At first I was learning how to work in structure, then become a mentee to somebody, and then learn customer service. And now I was kind of mentoring students, because by now I was in my junior year of college. And that's my third year of college. And that experience was really good. Over the course of 2 years, I had taught 200 students in total. So that was a minor achievement for me. And all these experiences compounded into striking that door at Boston. You know, they couldn't really say no at that point. They really had to be like, hey, if we do not take this person, it would be a mistake on our part. It was like that.
It's interesting that you think that they were losing somebody too, and you were confident in your own self, which, you know, which is a really good thing to kind of have inside you, because at that point, you know that you've worked hard enough, you know that you've pushed as much as you can to be the person that another company cannot reject, you know. And that's the kind of like the path that I'm on right now, is going to a place where if I apply to a company, they're going to be like, okay, we're going to be losing, you know, this person if we don't accept his application right now. And so that's awesome. How similar or different was the industry to you? How similar or different was it to the studies that you had done in college, right? So going into a role that you did not necessarily, I would think, know a whole lot about, the medical industry, you know, going into that, what's something that you wish you knew before you started the position?
That's a great question. So going in, I was literally blank because I really didn't know anything about how work happens in medical devices, medical device industry, right? How, like, what do they do? What's the core principles? What's the culture? What's the day-to-day like, you know? And I went in with zero prejudice about what's going to happen, like, you know, and all that, any preconceived notions. I just went in. At this point, you know, luck plays a big factor as well, you know?
Definitely.
It's a small story. I would like to, I mean, I know I'm deviating from the question, but I went in day one, right? I'm sitting down and my soon-to-be mentor, like, we have this program in Boston Scientific where you have a manager and you have a mentor. Why it is separate is because you wouldn't want to ask silly questions to your manager because they would probably judge you when they evaluate you, right? So right. They keep your mentors separate, they keep your manager separate so that you can be as dumb as you want to your mentor and learn from scratch. And then your manager takes care of your payroll and that stuff, the good stuff, right? Yeah, all that. So going in, this is where luck played in. One of the most learned, if you may, the tech gurus of this company when it comes to, you know, compliance, when it comes to design, when it comes to development. He's been here for like 22 years, this person. And he was just there. He was having lunch. And then somebody goes, hey, you don't have a mentee yet, right? Do you want one? And then he just looks up. He said, who is it? And he goes, that kid there. And then he just looked at me like that. He goes, yeah, just send me his resume. This is over lunch, right? And this is lunch that day one, I'm like, I don't even know nobody here. I'm just eating lunch. And after lunch, he just walks up to my desk. He goes, follow me. Just go behind him. He goes, here's your stuff. Here's your this thing. Let's start. And then this is where I was like, okay, so this person's taking the initiative. So that's where I was like, do what's told to you at first, you know, understand. And that's where I was like, okay, this industry is very different than what I expected. Number one, compliance is key. You know, patient care, compliance is key. You have to abide to like all, we have put like, you know, fail-safe options just so that nobody fucks up, you know, like on a design standpoint, on a compliance standpoint, on a development standpoint, on a manufacturing standpoint. So this person's out there, he's, telling me like, hey, this is our project. You're going to be working in the endoscopy division. Now that the product is out in the market, I can talk about it. It was a single-use endoscope. So in the endoscopy division, in all across the world, there are not any reusable. There are not any disposable scopes. Everything is reusable. So in the market right now, there are super bugs that cannot be sanitized even after you repeatedly clean the device. After the nurses clean the device, but cross-contamination still happens. So we came up with the first disposable scope, which is affordable, and it does a great job as well. And they threw me into the shitstorm of manufacturing this device, right? And the device was 1 year away from launch, and design's complete, validations are starting, and they just threw me to the fire. I'm like, okay, I'm here, and I've never worked in a medical device. I don't know what's happening, okay? And now start. But one thing over there, man, I would just say is it was sink or swim, and I had an option. Whether you want to sit and cry about it, or do you want to move forward, you know? You want to look for somebody to come and, like, you know, hold your hand and take you forward, or somebody to be like, hey, there's the ball, go catch it. You know, it's like that. And I was like, okay, step up, go do your work. One thing that Pete, my mentor, taught me was that opportunities never do come knocking on your door. They'll never come. You have to reach out with the hand and opportunities fall into your hand. That will happen. But for that, you have to reach out. You know, you have to let me or your manager know what your goals are. Where do you want to be? So that tomorrow when we are in a meeting or anywhere, we'd be like, okay, this is something they just would like. This is something he can do, you know? Yeah, he's interested in this stuff. More than his, they're not looking for, in any industry, this is not just a medical device, they're not looking for competence. They're looking for will. If somebody is actually willing to put in the time and the effort, they will do everything to teach you that stuff. So that's one key thing. Before going in, I feel like now looking back, like, hey, I wish I knew that. For me at that point, it was stuff like, you know, just compliance stuff, you know, man. As mechanical engineers, we are just like prototype, and just, you know, if it works, it works. If not, go back to the drawing board, do it. But here it was like, if it doesn't work, write shit down. Why is it not working? You need to document everything. So documentation was something that I really didn't give a fuck about. And that was where I had to like step in and be like, okay, this is something I need to work on. So between my internships, that was something I was taking care of. You know, I took up classes for tech report writing and all that to, you know, fill in those voids at work. So that's how I was making sure I'm on path.
You know, the point that you bring up about asking those stupid questions to your mentor, right? So that's something that I've also talked about in the first episode that we did, where I was talking about my experience, that I had mentors and they allowed me to ask those questions. And even now when I am a mentor to a few interns that were at my company, and you know, that's a point that they appreciated as well, that they can come and ask the things, and not just one time, but multiple times till they actually know. Because definitely, when I'm helping them at the start, it's okay. I'm giving just 5 minutes, a few days, it's okay. But if I don't teach them that, then months into their work, I'm going to have to do their work. So that's actually just redundant for me. So that's helpful that I taught them then. And I'm glad your mentors actually, you know, believed in that as well. So now that you are in your position, and do you believe, like, are you ready to mentor someone else? And do you have any other mentors outside your work life, you know, for your personal life? Or do you ever talk with your mentors that you have at Boston to talk about what, like, because, you know, our work is just 1/3 of a day and only like 5 days a week, right? So other than that, we have that life that we want to live. Do you talk about that with your mentors?
Yes, man. To be very frank, here in Boston, our work culture is very different as compared to other companies. It's like, it's more like a family. We have this, and I'm not being corny, and this is real, you know. It's, for us, it's like, we have the slogan that goes, we are more than a factory, we are a family. And this reflects in how they support me at work and outside work. And my mentor was like, hey, if you need any help, like, yeah, they can, I hang out with them outside work as well. We like go play softball on Tuesdays and we have stuff going on. So it's like, outside work stuff, man. Yeah. To an extent, yes. But of course, after a point, you know, I personally draw a line that I do not share as much of my personal stuff with my mentors and my coworkers, because I kind of like to keep it professional, because going forward, if I ever have to be in a group and have to make certain decisions, that might, you know, make someone feel bad, you know, that you should, at the end of the day, still be able to keep it professional. So that's how I look at it. But on a personal touch, there's definitely there. There's definitely some there. So like my mentor always gave me that a sense of confidence that, hey, make mistakes, just make them fast. You know, make them fast. If you make them fast, I'm right there to, you know, support you. So he'll be like, to give you a hypothetical or a metaphorical example, it's like standing at the edge of the cliff and trying to look down what it is. But this person's always there to be like, hey, if you want to jump, I'm there to catch you. You know, even if you make a mistake that's going to spend a lot of money and hurt the company, I'll defend you. Don't worry. You know, having somebody like that, like how you said, having a mentor with such a strong foundation, that happens only when you build it genuinely and not just be like, hey, I'm your mentor, let's teach. You know, it's, it just doesn't happen that way. It's like you have to resonate with that person on that level. And it's not a one-sided thing. Both the mentor and the mentee have to be equally willing to be able to do that. Only then that happens. Because I've seen a lot of people right here at Boston who there was no proactive feedback from the mentee that, you know, to put in the work, put in the time, stay the extra hours, you know, put in the effort, essentially. So
I think the mentor situation that you mentioned and the mentee situation that you mentioned, I think, like you said, you know, they have to correlate. It has to be a thing from both sides. I think that's not just with the mentor-mentee thing, but everywhere in life, you know, it's again, like, I think about, like, any laws of motion or, you know, just even gravitation, whatever it might be. Yeah. It's always got to be from both of the sides, right? It has to be action and reaction. That's how everything in life, I think, works. Is you're going to get what you put in, you know? Yes. And so I think that's amazing that your mentor is such a great person, so as to understand not just what he needs to teach you, but understand what you need to learn from him first.
Exactly. Yeah. You put it very well, man.
And if that happens at Boston Scientific, yeah. I hope that happens at other companies as well.
Yes.
And I hope somebody that's listening to this goes out there and does that. Oftentimes people don't realize, but they're just there to be there. You know, they're there to just put in the 9 to 5 and
leave. Yes, put in the X number of hours and just get out of there, you know?
What you, in fact, do in that one extra hour that maybe you're spending with your mentor mentee is what's going to cause not disruption, but like, I think, change within a company and within the culture. And so it's very, very important to push that more in other places as well. So that was a great answer, Tejas. Thank you so much for that. Okay, so the past couple of episodes too, we've had people talk about meditation, and we've had someone on this podcast who also advocates yoga to improve one's work-life balance. And we know that you do that as well.
Yes.
Why has it become so popular among recent graduates? And what would you say that yoga or meditation has done for you? How did you get into that? And do you also have people that you do it with or mentors that kind of help you through that?
Sure. So in 2016, man, my brother was going through some very tough phases in his life, you know, mentally and relationships and all that. And he was like, hey, I want to go to this place. It's in Coimbatore. It's called Isha Foundation. Let's go there. I was like, Tejas, you want to come with me? You're here for the summer. Let's go. I was like, mom was like, hey, you know what? I might join you guys too. My brother was like, great, let's do it. Family time, you know? And so all three of us just flew down to Coimbatore, and then we lived at Isha for 5 days. And we did the yoga program. And then I went in thinking like, hey, I'm on vacation. I'm going to chill there and just have fun, you know? I'm not here for anything major. And then, man, again, coming back to how my internships line up, you know, went in with the stuff that I did with zero preconceived notions worked out best for me. And I went there, learned for the whole 5-day program. I don't want to get into what I did there. But after that, I really stopped for a second and started contemplating what I am doing, what I like, and you know, what's happening around me, man. Just hit the brakes and just, you know, think about what's happening.
Give it a second.
Yeah. And this is freshman year, Tejas. This is freshman year. Came back in the summer just to hang out, you know, that Arjit knows, you know, it's yeah. Like that. And then adding that to what happened during my internships, it's that I was working 12-hour days every day, you know, 12-hour days every day with not complaining even a bit, not complaining as well. It was not like I wanted to complain and didn't. It's not that. It's just that the work was so good, and once you put in that will, you'll kind of start to see results, and those results drive you to do more, you know. And they're kind of addictive, man, to be honest. When you see things working out, and then you're like, oh great, I think I got it, you know. You catch the rhythm, and then you just start doing it.
It's the worker's high.
Yeah, it's the worker's high, you know, maybe workaholic high.
Yeah.
So I started doing that, but I used to be so drained coming back home. And Hemant said such a good point, man. Work is just a third of your day. And I learned it the hard way. I used to come back home, eat bad food. They just eat out every day and just go to bed. That's what I was doing. And then I had drifted. I was not practicing yoga at this time. I just used it as a vacation and not doing anything. And my brother, I was just noticing how it's working for him, you know, just to see if, you know, if it's even anything, should I put in the effort, you know, just to see how it works out for him. And if it works out for him, I might as well try, you know. To him, it was magical at that time for him. he literally found his, like, he was like, okay, this is not a joke, you know, this is something, one of the most underrated things out there. And I was like, okay, let's give it a shot. I started practicing my yoga every day and just sitting in meditation, man. And to me, I look at it like it is something that compounds over time. It's not something that you would just do. It's not like, it's like working out. You won't just see, you go to the gym one day and then next day you're like, you stand up on the scale and you're like, huh, nothing happened. You know, I'm like, yeah, man, you got to put in the effort. You know, it's not something that just happens, you know? So right. In the same way, that's how meditation is as well. Meditation, yoga, whatever you want to call it. It is, it compounds over time, and it compounds in a way that once you look back, you'll be like, oh God, where am I from there and where am I now? You know, that right. kind of a situation. And how that plays into who I am is that I suffer from severe public anxiety, severe, I get really anxious when I'm in a public situation, even like this. But you see how it, you wouldn't be able to tell, like, hey, is this person really feeling that way, you know? But it has subsided over time. It is not something that just happened, you know? And one thing that it teaches me, I don't want to put a thing to it, you know, I'm not saying it is this. It can never, meditation and yoga is something you can never bring it down to, boil it down to one thing, man. You know, it means different things for everybody, and all of those things are true, you know. It's like that. So for me, it boiled down to living in this moment. Don't dwell in the past, don't dwell in the future. All your past is a bunch of experiences that you have, call it memory if you want. And everything that's going to happen is what you think is going to happen, not what actually is going to happen, you know. And what's happening right now, like this conversation, this is reality, you know, this is real. So it helped me start to be comfortable in this moment, you know. And once you start becoming comfortable in those moments, anxiety, and then you start to stutter and all those things just subside, because now you're comfortable, you know. You're like, okay, this is good, I'm okay, you know. It starts to happen like that. And then how it reflected at work for me is that my conversations with people became much more fruitful on a business standpoint. I was being able to communicate much better, people were understanding my ideas much better, and I was being able to present my ideas much better. And an example of this is that every semester, I did three co-ops, so three co-ops are in three semesters, and one co-op is.
And what is all of those? Were all those with Boston Scientific?
All of them were with Boston, and then I did a fourth co-op, which was two semesters long, but it counted as one because I did it part time. But that was okay. With a different okay. company. We can go to that after.
Yeah.
And how it worked over here is each semester at the end you have to present what work you did, and you have to talk to senior management. You have to talk to interns, you have to talk to mentors, your mentor and mentors and managers of other interns as well. And then if you want, you can invite others, you can invite whoever you want, you know. And I'm a very personal person when it comes to just life in general, you know. I invited everybody starting from a product builder all the way up to my manager. I was like, y'all, I've worked with every one of you, man. You know, this is something so dear to me. Y'all should come and, you know, see me perform.
Come check it out.
Yeah, come check it out. And then I was up in front of the dais, and I was talking about my experience and all that. And I was just comfortable there, man. You know, that the anxious stages had just subsided to a point where I was not even looking down on it. I was just like, I just felt pity for myself, you know, like, hey, you just were blindfolding yourself and expecting things to act, you know, work, doing the same mistakes and expecting a different result, you know, stuff like that. And just had a smile on my face and just moved forward. And just to put it in perspective, all the three internships, they list all the co-ops as on the rankings based on their performance and their interactions with people. Because they just don't care about your result. They care about how do you fit in into the culture as well. Because if you're gonna be here in the long run, you gotta fit in as well. Right, so, right. going back, it was like at the end of each rotation, they would want us to present our answer, present our work to the whole audience. And at that point, I didn't know that it was about competition, but for them, for managers and mentors who were judging our performance, for them, it was like, hey, we need to rank these people from 1 to 30 or 1 to 25, 1 to 16, like that. And in all three, I was within the top three, but not through any personal thing that, hey, I need to go in. I'm going with a killer instinct to win and all that. It was not like that. For me, it was like, hey, you're going there to learn. Put your best foot forward. Whatever happens, happens. Even if you're number seven, that's great. But if you did your best, that's what matters to me. Because I want to go home satisfied with my work. I don't want to go home thinking I didn't do my best today. Even if the result is a failure, I'm fine with that. You know?
Right. And like, you know, I was thinking about was that it's about saying that, you know, you did better today than you did yesterday. You know, being yes. better every day, pushing yourself to set up goals for tomorrow and then to accomplish those, you know, and yeah. from yesterday saying that, okay, today is, if I did not know this yesterday, I do know it today. And tomorrow I'm going to know this, you know,
yep.
it's about that. It's about saying that it's not about competing with other people. It's about competing with yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, saying that whatever happens, if I'm not putting in my best work, if I'm not putting my best foot forward, then I'm missing out on an opportunity. You know,
yep, yes.
if you do that, I think most people wouldn't really care where your rank is. You know, if you're putting, right. Putting in the effort that you have to put in, results will show up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like that movie Three Idiots, you know,
right.
saying, you know, Kabil bano, kamyabi jhak maar ke piche bhagegi, which means, you know, be deserving of what you're looking to achieve, and then the results are going to follow. So.
Word.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, a great point that you bring up, satisfaction. I think it's a balance that we do need to achieve in our life, that you need to be satisfied with what you've done, but you still need to be hungry to achieve more, to grow more, right? Mm-hmm. You need to have that aim. And about your anxiety, it's something that I could relate to a bit because I've had that, not severe anxiety that I wasn't able to work, you know, at all, but it wasn't disrupting my life or anything, but it was there. And, you know, over the last year, as my anxiety, you know, has decreased of working in the industry, I was able to think clearly and, you know, set goals for myself of what I should achieve, what I can do, and where I should go. So has that been the same for you? And now that you have that balance, that equilibrium, are you able to set goals for yourself? And if you are, what kind of goals do you have for yourself? Where do you see yourself in a few years, in a few months? Who knows?
My goal is to bring Boston to India, man. That's the big picture for me. And for me, it's like when there is... this is not even there in the picture for the company, you know, this is not even there in their mind yet, but my goal is to make it happen, and somehow it will, you know, somehow it will, I'll make that happen. And it's like, and you, I told you how stubborn I can be with my with my actions sometimes, you know. And for me, setting goals, it's has to be one, realistic, and second, some goals have to be unrealistic, like this, just so that like how you mentioned that once you have done your work for today, you need to have the reason to go back. That why, right? That why needs to be there. And that why is very important. And setting that why happens not just by myself. It happens with me talking to my mentor and my manager, being like, hey, this is what I want to do. How can you help me get there? Because it's not something that I can just fight through the fire and go forward. Somebody has to lead the way with me, you know? And, at that point, like finding the right people to share these ideas is very important. Not everybody has the mental space to, you know, inculcate those ideas that you're trying to put forward and take you with them or alongside them, you know, like take you as a mentee or take you as a, you know, like a buddy in that.
I think sometimes it's about them having it, but them just not wanting to use it.
Yes.
You know, for you or for anybody else, or just not at all.
Right. So. That's where it becomes very important where you're choosing your mentor. If right. you can't just open your arms to any person to be like, hey, come teach me. You know, it doesn't work that way. Right. It's like it's like dating. You need to go talk to that person for a while. Once you feel like, okay, this seems doable, and then you're like, okay, let's see where this goes. Right. In the same way. Right. It has to come, it has to be mutual over there as well. And setting goals for me, one, I told you, I want to bring Boston to India. And those are in the talks as well. And I've made it very clear to my manager that, hey, if this comes up and if my name's not there, I'm going to be the most pissed person over here. You know, like I made it clear, like this is what I want.
Right.
So tomorrow, if those conversations kick in, he knows who's on the list already, you know, he doesn't need to go back and start searching who's interested. He knows that this person's right there. That's where I was telling you that opportunities don't come knocking. They are like dropping. You need to reach out, you know, that's how I look at it.
Man, you know, you seem quite satisfied with most of the things, at least that you're doing with your position right now, but I'm sure there's something that you can mention where maybe you think you would have changed that if you had the option to, and maybe not, you know. So is there something that either you would change, or is there something that you would do more of, right? So allotting your time to either daily activities at the workplace or even, you know, in life.
To be very honest with you, man, it's too early to say. This is still the start. I haven't reached a stage where I have made a conscious mistake where I want to go back and fix something. But where I am today, it's like the doors have just opened. So I can tell you this, that I'm on a project again in endoscopy where my goal is to, like, I'm the only engineer on it right now, you know, I'm the only person working on it. Rest, everybody is on different projects. So for me over there, it's either like, hey, just do what's told to you, just take a process and you start working on that specific process on the production line. And, or as you're the only engineer, work on the whole line, take responsibility for the whole thing, you know? You know, over there, it's like, now it's like all rules are my rules over here now, you know? Like, this is my ship, you know? It's like that. And
I'm the captain now.
The captain now. It's my ship, you know? Let's move on. Like that. So that's where, like, personally, that's my personality, you know? Like, rather than being like, fine, I'm a sailor here, like, let's sit down and just wait for somebody to come tell me what to do. I'd be like, you know, let's set sail, you know? Let's take this thing forward. So right now I'm in a position where I've taken that role of, hey, let's set sail, let's move forward. And my captain is my manager, right? He's the one leading that ship, giving me directions, but I've taken responsibility. Even it doesn't matter that I'm an engineer one, you know, usually this is what senior engineers or engineer twos do. But it, for me, it's like, hey, let's do it. You know, let's move forward. Let's take responsibility, you know, because in the long run, these are the initiatives that you will look back on and be like, thank God I did that, you know?
Right.
Thank God I did that.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, Tejas, thank you so much for sharing. I think, like you said, making sure that, you know, your ship is sailing in the direction that you wanted to sail in is what everybody wants to do, is not what everybody can or is able to achieve, but should be able to achieve if they work hard enough in the direction that they see themselves going into. And so making sure that you are the captain of your own ship, making sure that you are the person taking control of life, making sure that, you know, even though there's going to be other factors, taking them along and pushing them into a direction that you want to push that in, you know, taking either that positive energy that is around you, taking that mentorship, taking, you know, steps from other places and going into the right direction, you know, taking those small steps, taking those cuttings.
Great point to end the show. I've had so much fun, you know, talking to you about this. At least, I guess, if you bring that endoscopy thing that you mentioned, that disposable thing, I'm sure that's going to help save not just money, but save a lot of lives as well. So, you know, glad to know about that and where the industry is going. Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing. I'm sure Arjit has a few words as well.
Yeah. If you would like to tell our guests where they can find you, that would be great, because I'm sure they are interested just as much, if not more, to see where you take Boston Scientific and yourself?
Yeah, definitely. For anybody who's listening and is interested, you can reach out to me on LinkedIn. Arjit can put the information for you guys. But
yeah,
please reach out. I would love to help. I've been in the place where I'm reaching out to random people feeling that, hey, would he even reply, or she replied to my message, you know? And trust me, reach out. If I can help, I'll surely help you guys as much as possible. And good luck. And Arjit, Hemansh, thank you so much for bringing me on, man. This has been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, David. It's been great.
Yep.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We hope that you found value in this episode, like you hopefully have had in the other episodes as well. We are looking forward to hearing more from you on all our podcast platforms and YouTube and Instagram as well. Please go follow us and let us know how we can make this better. This is your host, Arjit Singh.
And Hemansh Bhatia.
And you've been listening to Kadam, the Small Steps podcast.
And as always, a traditional career is always untraditional. Thanks for listening.